Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The Holy Spirit, I wanted to give some people some opportunities to share just how the Holy Spirit has moved in their lives. And so let's invite Terry Greer and Deb Van Dusen Francis to come on up.
Hello, church. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing this time. David asked me to talk a little bit about an experience I had where the Holy Spirit really meant something. So I want to start by reading James 1, 2 through 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." When I was a youth, probably starting out my freshman year, my parents didn't go to church. A friend of mine asked me to go, so I went. And to be quite honest, there were a lot of cute girls there, so I stayed. Didn't really have any idea about the faith, but it was important very soon in my life that regardless of whether or not my parents told me to go or made me get up and go, I went and I was there. So youth, be happy that your parents are bringing you here. It's a big deal. When I was a senior, I was friends with everybody, jocks, athletes, you know, all the emos and everybody else. Surprisingly, I was a little outgoing. When I was a senior, there's a new girl that moved in to our school from Colorado. Her name was Kim. She's very cute, very sweet girl, a little quiet, didn't know anybody. So she was my lab partner in biology, so I got to know her pretty well. One night, her first year there in October, I saw her when we got to school, and she was really upset. She was dating a guy who really wasn't all that great. And so she was real upset, so we talked for a little while and then had to go to class, all that kind of stuff. So just kind of let it go from there. After school, saw her again. She's still very upset, and she really didn't know anybody. So we talked for a few minutes, and I went did my homework, I think. And then, I was going out with my friends that night. So about 6:30, she calls my house and really upset. Things had just blown up the rest of the day. She was just devastated. So I was planning to go. This is about 6:30. 7 o'clock, we were supposed to go out and really do nothing exciting at all, just go out. So I literally just cut the conversation off, just dropped it, said, "I'll talk to you later." She pleaded with me to stay on the phone with her. She was just that upset. But I was too cool, had to go out with my friends, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of tired of the drama, really. You know, not that girls have drama in their lives, but I was kind of tired of it. So we went out that night. Didn't do anything exciting. Got home. When I walked in the house, my house was dark, and my mom always stayed up until I got home. Pitch dark, walked downstairs, and my mom was sitting in the dark on the couch, very upset. So I didn't know what was going on. So she sat me down and wanted to tell me that about 7:05, about 5 minutes after I left with my friends, Kim had shot herself, and she was gone. So, of course, the guilt that came with that for me was enormous. If I'd only stayed on the phone 5 minutes more, would she be here? If I'd only listened to that little voice saying, you know, I really should maybe stick around 5 minutes. Maybe that's all it took. She was gone. So I called my youth director, told her what was going on. She said, meet me at the church. Well, she had called all my friends in the meantime. They all met at the church. One of the best things about it is she didn't preach. She didn't preach about anything. She sat there, she listened, prayed with us, let us talk, really just unload. So at this point, the age-old question of why bad things happen to good people. Why was she dead? I was furious. I was nine kinds of mad at God. Didn't understand it, didn't want to understand it. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. So it was bad. I decided right then that my faith didn't mean jack. It had nothing to do with me. I wanted nothing to do with it. So this went on for a while, and I struggled. This scripture was one that I kept coming back to, and it really ticked me off. You know, take joy when you face trials and you're going to get perseverance. Well, whatever. I didn't feel any of that. Not at all. So over the course of the year, by the time I graduated high school, I had 13 friends that killed themselves. From October to May. Chain reaction type suicides. I knew every one of them. I actually found one of them after he shot himself. So needless to say, God had nothing to do in my life. I'd had it. That was it. Fast forward 10 years. Started to get a little faith. Started going back to church a little bit. Kind of let that go. Just let it go to the wayside. Then I had an opportunity to be a youth director, which was good because I had no job in college, and they were going to let me live in a house by the church. Free. That was cool. So as I'm a youth director, I'd been there a couple years, got to know a lot of the kids, and one night about 2 o'clock, my phone rings. It's one of my youth. His family was falling apart, and he called me and said, "Hey, I need to talk." So went out, he showed up, went out and sat on the front steps, and he had a .22 in his pocket. And he was ready to go. He'd had it, just like I was back in the day. So by this time, my faith had returned to me, and I had an opportunity to understand what this scripture means. The Holy Spirit doesn't yell at you, doesn't preach at you. He's there. He's just there. Maybe don't understand it all the time, but the reality is, and the reality for me was that the Holy Spirit, as bad as that was in high school, was preparing my heart and my mind for that one moment that I could help, in God's eyes, keep this other kid from dying. He's now a youth director, and perseverance through your trials is what happens when the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and you accept the fact that he's there. So youth, I want to tell y'all, nothing ever gets bad enough. Nothing. These people in here, they're your family. You could call anybody in here and they would talk to you. Amen? Amen. Anybody? The reality is the Holy Spirit's in your life. Whether you believe it or know it, he's there. Always. Thanks.
Well, good morning again, church.
Whoa, let's wake up out there. Okay. I see that now.
My name is Deborah Van Dusen Francis. Some of you know me as that little old lady, some of the folks who help set up the church on Sunday mornings and work with DMAC to get the praise on. When I walk up and down the aisles, and I know you see me clapping, I'm waking you up. I'm telling you, I see it on your faces. Some of you are like, "I really want to, but, you know, I don't know if I should." Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Get your praise on every Sunday and then carry it through the week. Thank you. Just so you know, if the room goes totally dark, it's because I said something wrong. And my hubby Jay is up working the lights and the board in there. Okay. I wanted to share an experience today with you that I had right here in the bridge when the Holy Spirit really made itself known and apparent in my life. I'm not like some members of the church who experience something in their life, a joy or a tragedy, that suddenly moves them toward God or toward a church. I've had a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ all my life. In fact, as a young person, I wanted to be a missionary. Then I found out I hated camping and I love hot showers. So a missionary was not going to work for me. You know, I've always felt comfortable with my relationship. I found praying to Christ very easy throughout my life, even as a small child. And I want to share one thing. The greatest prayer you can say is also the shortest prayer. Help. He knows the rest, and he sends all of us to help. In fact, as a young person and a young adult, I became a Stevens minister, a care minister, and I taught the same group of kids from seventh grade through their graduation of high school. You can't ask for a more rewarding experience, and I highly recommend everyone teach a child, see their faith through their eyes, and watch that faith grow. But as close as I've been in my faith, I have always struggled knowing Holy Spirit. And what role did it play in my life? I believe in the Trinity. I just didn't quite understand or grasp the concept of the Holy Spirit. That all changed last year. Last October, David did a sermon on grieving. My stepmom, to whom I'm very close, had been in a nursing home for a couple of months, and I knew her days were numbered. I had also lost my dad and my real mom earlier, so I was really listening to his sermon that day. My family has been in anger and turmoil for years, and I was really concerned how I would handle my stepmom's passing and how I would deal with my sister. I knew I would travel back to Syracuse to do her service. But how was I going to confront my sisters in Syracuse, two who were agnostic, one an atheist, and one who is now estranged from all of us? What a group. All women, right? How could I address their type of grief and honor my stepmom, who was a true believer? Sylvia, my stepmom, taught Sunday school for years, and she was superintendent of our Sunday school back home for years. She was an artist with a vivid imagination and could bring the Bible to life for young children to love and embrace. Well, on that Sunday last year, David had just closed his sermon, and I got a text from my sister that Sylvia, my stepmom, had passed. You know how that feels. Although you expect it, you're never truly prepared for the loss you feel when it does happen. I was sitting alone in the back of the church, and I texted Jay up in the booth, and I just sat there and composed myself. Then I went and sat down next to David, and I said to him, "David, your sermon meant more to me than you'll ever know. I was just notified that my stepmom has passed away." David goes, takes my hand like a good mister, and he says, "I'm so sorry for your loss." I said, "No, David, she just took her last breath during your sermon." And David goes, "Whoa, oops, I'm really sorry." And I just stood there and I said, "No, it's beautiful." David stood up that Sunday and he had all of you lift my family up in prayer. You just can't imagine what that felt like. You all stood there and prayed for me and my family. I felt a peace and a joy come over me like never before. What an honor to a beautiful woman, my stepmom. You see, it was Halloween, and Halloween was her favorite holiday. It was a blessing. I started to remember how Sylvia explained the Holy Spirit to young children. During her Sunday school days, she had this pot with a big block of ice in it. And she said to the kids, "See this block of ice? This is God, solid, sitting right next to you, always." Then she turned down the burner, and the ice started to melt, and it started to boil up. And she said, "This is Jesus Christ. His love is just boiling over for you." And then the steam started to rise from the water. And she said, "You see, that's the Holy Spirit spreading the love of God and Christ throughout this room and into your heart forever. As you all prayed for my family, I felt that love and grace of the Holy Spirit surround me. And I knew she was at peace, and I knew how to handle my family when I got home." I'd like to read from the Bible that my stepmom gave me many years ago. And this is scripture that I say almost every day. It's from Romans. "Because we rejoice in our suffering. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope will not fail us, for God's love is poured out to all of us, into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." I've wanted to come up to say thank you, Bridge. Thank you, church, for caring and for praying for my family. The Holy Spirit is alive and well within these walls. If we just take the time to listen to the word and to welcome Christ in our hearts, after all, mothers really do know what's best. Thanks.
You know, the Spirit moves in a lot of different ways, but usually has one of the same messages of God loves you, God cares about you, Jesus came to die and save for you. Our scripture reader to come up and share with us now.
From John. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
First time I ever heard a symphony play was in high school. My parents forced me out of my rock and roll, country, hip-hop bubble that I was in. It took me to see the Allen Philharmonic Symphony play. I'll never forget the first time that I heard portions of Handel's Messiah played. And I'll never forget the first time I heard portions of Mozart's Requiem and Beethoven and these great classic composers who I had never taken the time to be exposed to. I'd only heard them in the background of elevators as pure annoyance, or music without words that I couldn't sing to in the car. There was a familiar feeling of tapping my foot like I do with rock music, like I do with other stuff. But deep inside of me, something leapt. Something sprung to life, a feeling that I had not ever felt with music before, a feeling that I was being moved alongside the instruments. What should have been dozens of different performers and musical instruments playing the different notes suddenly wove itself into a tapestry of melodic harmony and rhythm, this beautiful sound force moving through my soul and through my mind, just taking me away from anything and everything that had been going on in my life. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. a careful melody composed with purpose, but moving through the souls of those people in the concert hall with an unexplainable sweetness and purpose to it. I've since experienced this feeling several other times. One was the first time I ever went to U2 and heard their live performance. One was the first time I ever heard Rob Bell speak. One was the first time I ever heard Fred Craddock preach. I experience it each time I come to worship on Sunday morning when we start singing to our Lord, when the music fills up this place, and when your voices are heard, even over the electric guitar, over the drums, or anything else. So there's something about music that sinks deep inside of us, something that strikes at our very core. It makes us respond with peace and joy, relaxation. It's said by many people that music is the window to our soul. It's said that music can express things that words alone can never express. And a well-played piece of music strikes at so many different levels we can't seem to understand. But when you leave this place, when you leave a symphony hall, when you leave a good concert, when you leave your car after you've been singing loud to the radio, you know something beautiful just happened. Something moved inside of you. See, music for me is the best way to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's not the only way that the Spirit moves by any measure, but it's the most popular and most obvious because music and the Holy Spirit move in much the same way. It's all around at the same time. It's working inside of us and around us, working ahead of us and in the present. It's working individually, but it always works within a community. It's sent by God through the request of Jesus Christ to be our advocate, our helper, our comforter, as it's translated in many different ways. That part of God to be our assistant and our leader all at the same time. This is the mystery of the Trinity and the third person of the Trinity we call the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is simultaneously given too much importance and given not enough importance in churches all around America. It's given too much importance because it's this mysterious force that we can claim and we can talk about and whatever we want to be the Holy Spirit, we can say that was the Holy Spirit moving amongst us. And it's manipulated by human beings sometimes. But at the same time, there are other churches who can see the creation of God and they can see the person of Jesus and they don't like the unexplainable force, that one mysterious piece of the God figure that we cannot understand or empirically notify. But to understand their spirit, we must understand our own spirits, that which moves inside of us. There's a passage in Exodus 35:21. It talks about a crowd of Israelites who are having their hearts stirred by the actions of God, and those spirits inside of them moved and brought them forth to make their effort and gifts to build a tent so that God might reside. In this verse, however, it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is mentioned later. It's the Spirit that resides inside of all of us, that part of us that we cannot describe with biological or physical features that leads us in action. And it's our spirits, my friends, that God talks to us and where God moves us. If you look at music, music can be described by physics. It can even be measured. When a bow strikes a violin, it creates a vibration that creates a sound wave in the air at a frequency governed by the force of the strike, the length of the string at the point it is pinched, and the sound wave, the speed that it travels towards a waiting eardrum that interprets the vibration and translates them into what we call sound, pitch, and overall music. When another violin or cello strikes a string with a bow, it creates a competing sound wave that, while distinct, collide with each other and create a whole new sound wave that is again interpreted by the biology of the human ear. If the two waves are within a good enough ratio to each other, we get what we call harmony and a beautiful sound. But how many of us, when you listen to Chopin or Beethoven or Mozart or U2 or the Beatles or whoever your favorite band is, you hear nothing but beauty and excitement? There is no talk of sound waves. You just feel the groove. You entrench yourself in the melody. You flow among it. Only the maker of the instruments and the composer worries about the tectonics and the vibration of the music. It's those who are participating that experience the true beauty of what music is at the moment. Even our own brain can be mapped out to where decisions come from, which neurons are firing, which part of the brain lights up on the screen. But when a first grader of our church sets up a lemonade stand to benefit those who suffered from the crisis in Japan, Nobody says, oh, the neurons were firing at this rate in between this cortex and this subcortex and whatever part of the brain. They simply reach out and say, that person has a great spirit about them. They have a missional spirit about them. When a person reaches out to a bereaving person, when a person stands up in worship to be baptized or to accept Christ, no one wants to quantify that experience. They leave that worship experience and say, that was beautiful. There's a part of us called a spirit that is not distinct from our bodies, but works in unison with our bodies. And is that spirit, which is the image of God inside of us. This is where the Holy Spirit works to bring about the beauty that has no explanation other than God was at work in that place. We have to remember from John 14 that our Father, or that Jesus, our Father, the Advocate of the Holy Spirit, are one and the same. They're a consistent holy presence, a consistent melody flowing throughout all of time and space to create and restore God's perfect will and God's perfect love in the very creation God breathed into life. And the Spirit does not work as the world wants it to work. Jesus says this in John 14, and perhaps I think we struggle with this statement because we have a hard time grasping the ideals that Jesus lays out for us, because they're not what the world says and they're not what's easy or what makes sense. And so we have a hard time understanding the Holy Spirit because we don't always grasp on to what it's telling us to do. The Spirit will not move you in a way that Jesus has not acted out. And Jesus is the person of God in that flesh. Spirit works before us. It prepares the people's hearts that you will be in ministry with. There are people who are waiting on you, whose the Spirit has moved inside their spirit, and they are waiting on you to minister with them and for them and to them. There is a Spirit who is working on your heart at this very moment, and there is an opportunity to listen at every moment, to feel, to be moved by that beautiful music of God that is available anytime and every time, because Jesus created a groove. A groove with the beats of justice, mercy, compassion, grace, love, and hope. A groove that millions have found to be pleasing and who have found themselves tapping their foot to over and over again. See, we say we follow Jesus and are saved by Jesus by faith alone. But when the empirical form of Jesus is gone, he sends us the helper. He sends us the advocate. Because our faith by itself, as humans, is not strong enough. And so we are given the Holy Spirit to help us in our faith, to make us strong, to lead us. And you know the groove I'm talking about. You know that rhythm that you felt in here before. You know the rhythm in your small group that you felt before, that beat that you can tap your foot to, that beat that you move in the world to, that beat that just feels right. You ask people, when do you feel the Holy Spirit? You feel that Holy Spirit when you're doing mission work, and it's just right. You do that when you're in Christian community, when you're talking about God, when you're experiencing love for people who need it at a funeral or a wedding. You get the feeling when you're disgusted that the poor are not treated justly, that you're the elderly are not treated justly. You get that feeling when you are in the rhythm that God has laid out. You get that feeling when you are generous or compassionate because you are in the melody of God. And the melody creates beautiful music when we all work in that same melody. We create harmony. Our forces work together and not create indistinct, they don't create distinct forces. They create new forces as a church body, as small groups that go forward and they share God's melody with the world in many different ways. See, the Spirit lives inside of you. Your spirit is where God resides, where God moves, where you feel that unquantifiable God-like experience, where you can simply say, I just know. Some people call it conscience. Some people call it intuition. We call it prevenient grace. That grace which goes before, which paves the way, which lets you know I am on the right track. I am playing the notes that God wants me to play. And we remember those feelings and we move on from those. If you've heard the rhythm of God, you know what peace feels like. You know the peace that Jesus promises. And the rhythm of the Holy Spirit is how God primarily moves and acts in this world. A helper during our time on this uncertain earth to reinforce our spirits to move within the melody of God's action. To reinforce that Jesus is the way and to reinforce that we are more than scientific explanations. So listen to the music of the Lord. Get in the groove and let the melody captivate you. Let's pray. Father God, you have set forth your groove and your rhythm. You have given us the beat to march to. So in your own way, move in each of our individual spirits, what we call a heart or what we call a soul, our spirit inside of us, stir it up so that we might take control of this world, that we might be love and be grace and be justice and all those things that are the notes on your sheet music. And so share with us, God, your spirit now. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.